Harun questions Behlul about Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him. One day Behlul went to Harun, who was drunk. He said to Behlul, "Was Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, greater than the messenger of Allah's uncle Abbas' son, or was Abdullah ibn Abbas greater than Ali, peace be upon him? As long as you won't kill me, I will speak the truth. You are safe." Behlul said, "Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, is greater than all Muslims after Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa, peace be upon him, because he is a brave young man who is a real faithful. All the good deeds are found in him. He didn't show the slightest slowness in obeying Islam's and Allah's orders. Word by word, he has obeyed Allah's commands. He had such perfect and unchanging faith, that, not only did he think his, but his children's, lives nothing. In all the wars and battles he was always ahead of the advanced guard of the army. No one has ever seen him leave the enemy, so, he was once asked if he ever thought about his life during battles, may Allah forbid, it is possible that someone might attack you from behind and take your life." Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, said, "My fight is for the sake of Allah's religion. In it I have no thought for benefit or of greed and personal desire. My life is in Allah's hands. If I die, then it is with Allah's will, and I will die in Allah's way. What good is greater than this, and I will enjoy it that I will be killed in Allah's way and be amongst the godly believers and those who are on the right and true path." Even when Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, was the emir and khalifa of Muslims, he did not love luxury. He spent his entire time working for the Muslims and worshipping Allah. He never took one dinar unnecessarily from the public treasury. Once his brother Akil, who had a family, requested Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, to give him more than his share and right from the public treasury. Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, denied Akil's request. He told all of his officials not to oppress the people. All his affairs were decided with justice and equity. The officer who committed the least bit of oppression or tyranny was removed from office after being harshly questioned by Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him. He did not even forgive his close friends the punishment they deserved. Once when Ibn Abbas was the commander of Basra, he spent some money from the public treasury for some personal work. Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, asked for that cost back and warned him about that deed. He gave Ibn Abbas a date by which to return the amount, but he could not. Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, ordered him to come to Kufa. Ibn Abbas knew that Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, was not such a khalifa who would overlook his mistake, so he fled to Makkah and went and sat in Allah's house because he knew he would be safe there. Harun Rashid became ashamed from listening to this, so he wanted to hurt Behlul and cause him heartache, so he asked, "Why was such a great and respectful person killed? Many of those on the right path have been killed and thousands of messengers and good, pious slaves of Allah continue to fight in his way. Tell me the details of Ali's death." According to Hazrat Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, when Abdur Rahman ibn Mulayim decided to kill Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, he brought another person with him. That accursed man fell into a deep sleep and so did Ibn Mulayim. When Amir al-Mu'mineen, peace be upon him, entered the mosque, he awakened the sleepers for Salath, prayer. When he stood for Salath, prayer, then went to Sajda, the accursed Ibn Mulayim attacked his head with a sword. That stroke fell on the place where Amr ibn Abd Vahd had previously wounded the Imam with a stroke at the Battle of Khandaq. From this stroke his head was wounded to the eyebrows, and since the accursed person had soaked the sword in poison, Ali, peace be upon him, said farewell to the world after 3 days. He addressed his sons, "For Allah's friends, the companionship of prophets and vicegerents is better than this terminating world. If I die from this wound, then only give my murderer one stroke because he only gave me one stroke of the sword. Don't cut his body into pieces." After saying this, he was unconscious for a while. When he awoke, he said, "I saw the Apostle of Allah who ordered me to leave. He said that tomorrow I will be by him." He said this and died. Then the sky's color changed and the earth started shaking. The sound of tasbih and righteousness came from the sky to the people's ears, and everyone knew that this was the voice of angels. About this, a poet has excellently said, "Tonight the infidels raise the flag of oppression and tyranny. From this defeat, martyrdom of Ali, they destroyed Islam's principles. From this one stroke that was given to the father of believers, it is like the home of faith was ruined. All the dwellers of heaven took off the crown of respect and threw it on the earth from sorrow of Ali, peace be upon him. To the people of the world, running water became bitter. Perhaps the prison of oppression and tyranny has become absorbed with safety. By killing the son-in-law of Ta'ah, the apostle of Allah, the oppressors have struck an arrow of sorrow into the heart and body of Yasin, the apostle of Allah. From this grief and misery the dwellers of paradise became angry. Because of Khatama the infidels struck the sword of enmity on Imam Ali's, peace be upon him, forehead. The oppressors didn't just cut Hazrat Ali's, peace be upon him, head into two pieces, they also cut Allah's hand, yet Allah, meaning Ali. When the enemy's sword fell upon the Imam's forehead, the moon and the sun also received the wound of grief. The attack wounded the forehead of the King of Faith, Ali, peace be upon him. It was as if the miracle of Shaikh ul-Qamar again came to the world, Ali's, peace be upon him, forehead was cut into two pieces the way that the Apostle of Allah's finger sliced the moon into two pieces. The voice of Zainab's and Ame Kulsum's crying was heard, and Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon them, threw their imamas, turbans, on the ground because of their sorrow. Baylul sells paradise. One day Baylul was sitting at the corner of the river, and since he was useless, he was making some flower beds like the children were. Harun Rashid's wife Zubaydah happened to cross by. When she came near Baylul, she asked, "Baylul, what are you doing?" Baylul answered, "Making paradise." "Do you sell the gardens you have?" asked Zubaydah. "Yes, I sell them." Said Baylul, "For how many dinars?" asked Zubaydah, "For 100 dinars. Replied Baylul. Since Zubaydah wanted to help Baylul in any way she could, she immediately ordered her servant to give Baylul 100 dinars, which he did. Baylul said, "You don't want a receipt? Write it and bring it." Saying this, Zubaydah went her way. Baylul distributed that money among the poor. In a dream that night, Zubaydah saw a big garden, the like of which she had never seen when awake. All of its houses and palaces were 7 stories high and made of colored jewels and decorated with great style. The rivers were flowing and beside them flowers were blooming. Very beautiful trees were planted, servants, boys and girls, were all present and ready to be of service. Zubaydah was given the receipt, written in gold ink, and was told that this is the garden that she had bought from Baylul. When she awoke, Zubaydah was very happy and told Harun about her dream. As soon as it was morning, Harun sent someone to bring Baylul. When Baylul came, Harun said, "I want you to take 100 dinars from me and sell me one of your gardens, like the one you gave Zubaydah." Baylul gave a loud laugh and said, "Zubaydah bought it without seeing the reward, but you heard and so want to buy it, but regretfully, I won't sell it to you." Harun Rashid's anger and Baylul forgiveness. Harun hired a spy to ascertain Baylul's religion and faith. A few days later the spy informed Harun that, according to his inquiry, Baylul is among the friends of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and Musa bin Jafar's very particular and faithful followers. So Harun called Baylul and said, "I have heard that you are amongst the friends and lovers of Musa bin Jafar and do propaganda about his right and against me. To save yourself from punishment, you have become insane." Baylul asked, "If that is so, then how will you treat me?" At this Harun could not control his anger, and, while in this mood, ordered his slave Masrur to take Baylul's clothes off and put a donkey's saddle on his back. Put the donkey's rein in his mouth, then parade him in the palaces and their surroundings. After that, cut his head off in front of me. Masrur took Baylul's clothes off, put a saddle on him, reins in his mouth, and marched him in the palace's surroundings. Then he presented Baylul to Harun in that condition, so as to kill him. Coincidentally, Jafar Barmaki was present at this time. He saw Baylul state and asked, "Baylul, what was your mistake? Since I told the truth, the Khalifa gave me his own garments as a reward." Harun Rashid, Jafar, and all those present laughed very much at Baylul's answer. Then Harun forgave Baylul and ordered the donkey's saddle and rein to be taken off of him, and to bring nice clothes for him. But Baylul did not accept the clothes. He picked up his tattered clothes and left Harun's palace. Baylul, a bundle, barley bread, and vinegar. It is said that Baylul mostly spent his time sitting in a graveyard. One day, as usual, he went there. Harun passed by, desiring to hunt. When he arrived near Baylul, he asked, "Baylul, what are you doing?" "I have come to visit such people who don't backbite, don't expect anything from me and don't cause me pain in any way. Will you tell me something about Qiyamah, Siyarat, and the questions and answers about this world? Tell your slaves to kindle a fire and place a flat iron pan over it till it becomes red hot." Harun ordered it and it was done. "Oh Harun, I will stand barefoot on this pan and introduce myself. I will describe whatever I have eaten and worn. After that, you also stand barefoot like I did, introduce yourself, and describe whatever you have eaten and worn." Harun agreed. Then Baylul stood on the hot pan and quickly said, "Baylul, a bundle of tattered clothes, barley bread and vinegar." He said this and immediately came off, his feet were not burned at all. When Harun's turn came, he couldn't introduce himself the way he wanted to, his feet got burned, and he fell off. "Oh Harun, Qiyamah's questions and answers are like this. Those who worship Allah, are content, and stay away from greediness of the world's rank and dignity will easily pass Siyarat, but those who are attached to worldly majesty and splendor will be arrested with troubles. Behlul advice. Behlul was on his way somewhere when he saw a man crying with his head down, and looking as if he were a stranger. Behlul went near him, saluted him, and said, "What sort of injustice has occurred upon you that you are so sorrowful and grievous? I am an African foreigner. When I arrived in this city, I decided to bathe and rest for a few days. I had some coins and jewels that I deposited in a perfumer's shop from fear of thieves. A few days later I asked for my deposit back, but he called me bad names and made it known that I was crazy," replied the man. "Don't worry. I will go to that perfumery and bring your deposit easily back to you," said Behlul. Then he asked who that perfumer was, and when he recognized him, Behlul said to the foreigner, "I will be found at that perfumer's tomorrow at such and such a time. You come to his shop at the appointed time, but do not talk to me at all, and tell the perfumer to return your deposit." The African agreed. Behlul immediately went to the perfumer and said, "I plan to go to the city of Khurasan. I have some jewels that equal 30,000 dinars. I want to deposit them with you so that when I come back safe and alive, I will take those jewels back from you, and if I don't return by such and such a date, then you are free and responsible to sell those jewels and have a mosque made from their money." The perfumer became very happy at this and asked, "You are most welcome, when will you bring your deposit?" Behlul said, "Tomorrow at such and such a time." Saying this, he went away. Then he had a leather bag made. He filled it up with some iron and glass pieces, then securely sewed its mouth shut. Then he went to the perfumer's shop at the appointed time. The perfumer saw the bag and thought it was full of jewels, so he was very happy. The foreigner also arrived exactly then, and asked for his deposit. The perfumer immediately said to his slave, "In the basement in such and such a place is this person's deposited bag. Immediately bring it and give it to him." The servant did so. The foreigner took it and went away, blessing Behlul with all his heart. Harun and a fraud. It is said that a fraud presented himself to Harun, pretending to be an African. Harun asked him about those kingdom's harvests, jewels, and works of art that he had visited. They began to talk about India's harvests, jewels, and inventions. The impostor described in detail such jewels, that, without even seeing them, the Khalifa fell in love with them. Incidentally, he said to the Khalifa, "In India they make such a drug that brings the strength of youth back into a being. Even if a 60-year-old man eats the pill, he gets the manliness and strength of a 20-year-old youth." The Khalifa became very curious about the drug and jewels that this Negro had described. He said, "How much money should I give you so that you can bring those jewels and that drug that you have just described in detail?" That deceitful person asked for 50,000 dinars, and then he departed for his homeland. The Khalifa waited a long, long time, but there was no news about that fraud. He was very depressed, and whenever he remembered the incident, he was full of regret. One day Jafar Barmaki and others present happened to mention him. The Khalifa said, "If you ever get hold of that impostor, then I will take back many times more than the amount I gave him. Besides that, I will give the order to cut off his head and hang it on the gate of Bugh Dadi so that others may learn a lesson from this incident." Behlul gave a loud laugh and said, "Oh Harun! Yours and that fraud story is exactly like the tale of the rooster, the old woman and the fox." Harun said, "Tell me whatever the story of the rooster, the old woman, and the fox is." Behlul said, "It is said that a wild cat snatched an old woman's rooster. That old woman kept running behind the cat, screaming, 'Come and help me. The cat is taking my 1-ton-pound rooster.' The cat got worried and said, 'Oh woman, why did you lie? This rooster isn't as heavy as you said.' Coincidentally, a fox appeared. It said to the cat, 'Why are you worried and distressed?' The cat narrated what had occurred. The fox said, 'Put the rooster on the ground so that I can tell you its weight.' As soon as the cat put the rooster on the ground, the fox picked it up, and, while running, said, 'Tell the old woman that my feet say this rooster weighs more than a ton.'" Harun Rashid laughed a lot at Behlul's story and praised him. Harun Rashid and a hunter. The Khalifa was playing chess with his wife Zubaydah one Eid day. Behlul came near them, sat down, and watched the game. A hunter saluted them by kissing the floor. He had brought the Khalifa a very good and fat fish. Harun happened to be drunk at that time. He gave the order to give the hunter 4,000 dirhams as reward. Zubaydah criticized Harun, "This amount is a lot for the hunter because every day you have to give rewards in the forts and cities, and when you give them less than this amount they will say that they are not equal to a hunter, and if you give them more, the government treasury will be empty in a few days." Harun liked Zubaydah's thought, so he asked, "Now what do I do? Call the hunter and ask him if the fish is a male or female. If he says it is female, say you don't like it. If he says it is male, again say you don't like it. Helpless, he will go, take his fish and reward away." Bahlul said to Harun, "Don't be deceived by a woman. Don't depress the hunter." But Harun didn't listen. He called the hunter and asked, "Is the fish male or female?" The hunter kissed the floor and said, "This fish is neither male nor female, actually, it is an eunuch." Harun was happy with his answer. He gave the order to give him 4,000 dirhams more as reward. The hunter took them and put them in his purse. But when he was descending the palace stairs, one of the dirhams fell out on the floor. The hunter bent and picked it up. Zubaydah said to Harun, "How low-natured is this person that he can't even part with one dirham?" Harun thought this behavior was bad, so he called him. Again Bahlul said, "Don't stop him." But Harun didn't agree. He called the hunter and said, "How low and base is your heart that you are not ready to let the slaves have one dirham from such an amount?" The hunter saluted again and said, "I am not base, but know how to value grace. That is why I picked up the dirham. On one side is a Quranic verse and on the other side the Khalifa's honorable and illustrious name is engraved. If it is left on the ground, then it is certain that it will come underfoot, and this is disrespectful." The Khalifa again became very happy and gave the order to give the hunter another 4,000 dirhams as reward. Bahlul said, "Didn't I say don't stop him?" Harun said, "I am crazier than you because you stopped me 3 times, but I did not listen to you. By following this woman, I suffered this loss." Harun Rashid's question about Amin and Mamun. One day Bahlul was going to Harun's palace, but they coincidentally met each other. Harun asked, "Bahlul, where are you going?" "I was going towards you," Harun said. "I want to go to school so I can closely observe Amin and Mamun. If you want, you can also come with me." Bahlul agreed and went to school with Harun, but at that time Amin and Mamun had gone outside with the teacher's permission. Harun asked particular questions about Amin and Mamun. The teacher said, "Amin is the son of the chief of Arab women, Zubaydah, but he is very foolish and stupid. Contrarily, Mamun is very understanding, intelligent, and full of dignity." Harun said, "I don't believe you." The teacher put a piece of paper under the sheet of the place where Mamun sat and a brick under Amin's seat. A few moments later Mamun and Amin entered. As soon as they saw their father, they paid their respects and sat down at their places. Mamun worriedly glanced at the ceiling, and looked to his right and left. The teacher asked him, "What has happened to you that you are so worried?" Mamun answered, "From the time I left school till when I returned, either the floor got 1 width of a paper higher, or the ceiling got that much lower. Briefly, my seat is a piece of paper higher." Then the teacher asked Amin, "Do you feel like that too?" Amin answered, "I don't feel anything at all." The teacher laughed, and sent the two outside again. After they left, he said to Harun, "Thanks be to Allah that I proved my statement in front of you." The Khalifa said, "At least tell the reason why." Bahlul said, "If I get assurance of my life, I will narrate the reason. I assure you. Tell whatever you know." Bahlul said, "There are 2 reasons why children are bright and intelligent. The first reason is that when a man and a woman meet with mutual love, then their child is clever, bright, and intelligent. The second reason is that when a man and a woman keep connections with people of different blood and race, then their child becomes wise, intelligent, and keen. This is exactly what has been experienced in the case of trees and animals. If a fruit tree is grafted with another fruit-bearing tree, then their offspring will be very delicious and refined. Also, if 2 animals, for example, a donkey and a horse, are bred together, then they have a mule, which is very strong, sharp, and smart. Therefore, the lack of understanding in Amin is because the Khalifa and Zubaydah are of one blood and lineage, but Mamun is very bright and intelligent because his mother is of a different blood and family, and in this respect, very different from the Khalifa." The Khalifa laughed at Bahlul's answer and said, "You can't expect more than this from a lunatic." But the teacher believed Bahlul with all his heart. Bahlul's conversation with Abu Hanifa. One day Abu Hanifa was teaching at the college. Bahlul was sitting in a corner, listening to Abu Hanifa's lesson. In the middle of his lesson, Abu Hanifa said that, "Imam Jafar A-Siddiq, peace be upon him, says 3 things that I don't agree with. These are, firstly, he says Shaitan will be punished in the hellfire. Since Shaitan is made of fire, then how is it possible that fire can hurt him? One kind of thing can't get hurt from the same kind of thing. Secondly, he says that we can't see Allah, but something that is present must also be able to be seen. Therefore, Allah can be seen by our eyes. Thirdly, he says that whoever does something is himself responsible for it, and will be questioned about it because he did it himself, but evidence is against this. Meaning, whatever a person does is done by Allah and the person has no control over what he does." As soon as Abu Hanifa said this, Bahlul picked up a clod of earth and threw it at him. It hit his forehead and gave him severe pain. Then Bahlul ran away. Abu Hanifa's students ran after Bahlul and caught him. Since Bahlul was related to the Khalifa, they took him to the Khalifa and narrated the whole incident. Bahlul said, "Call Abu Hanifa so that I can give him my answer." Abu Hanifa was called and Bahlul said to him, "What wrong have I done to you? You hit my forehead with a clod of earth. My forehead and head are in severe pain. Can you show me your pain? Can pain be seen?" Bahlul replied, "You yourself say that every present thing can be seen and you criticize Imam Ja'far as-Siddiq, peace be upon him, by saying how is it possible that Allah is present, but invisible? Secondly, you wrongly claim that the clod of earth pains your head, because the clod of earth is made of mud and you were also created from mud. Then how can one kind of thing hurt the same type of substance? Thirdly, you yourself said that all acts are done by Allah. Then how can you say that I am guilty, present me to the Khalifa, complain about me, and demand punishment for me?" Abu Hanifa listened to Bahlul's intelligent answers and shamefully left Harun's court. Harun Rashid's questions and Bahlul's answers. Harun Rashid was returning from his journey to Hajj, and Bahlul was waiting for him on the side of the road. As soon as he saw Harun, he loudly said three times, "Harun! Harun! Harun!" The Khalifa asked, "Who is this caller?" The people said, "It is Bahlul." Harun called Bahlul. When he came near him, the Khalifa asked, "Who am I?" "You are that person who is responsible when other people oppress a weak person," replied Bahlul. Harun started crying at this and said, "You spoke truly. Now request something from me." Bahlul said, "My request is that you forgive my sins and permit me into heaven." Harun replied, "This is beyond my control. On the other hand, I can pay your debts." Bahlul said, "A debt can't be fulfilled by another debt, because you yourself are indebted to the public. Thus, return to the public their wealth. It is not decent or elegant of you to give me the wealth of others." The Khalifa then said, "I give the order to grant you some assets, which will be guarded, as the means of your livelihood so you can pass your life with comfort and ease. We are all servants of Allah and receive salary from him. Is it possible that he may give you subsistence and forget about me?" Harun Rashid gives Bahlul a reward. One day Harun Rashid gave the order to give Bahlul a reward. When it was given, Bahlul didn't take it and returned it. He said, "Give this money to the people whom you took it from. If you don't return it to their owners, then there will certainly come a day when the Khalifa will be demanded to repay his debt. That day the Khalifa will be empty-handed, and, besides being shameful and regretful, there will be nothing." Harun Rashid trembled from listening to Bahlul, started crying, and affirmed Bahlul's statement. The effect of Bahlul's dua. It is said that an Arab had a camel which was afflicted by the itching disease. People advised him to rub castor oil on it. The Arab rode his camel to the city to buy the oil. Near the city, he met Bahlul. Since Bahlul was his friend, he said to him, "My camel has the itching disease. People told me that by rubbing castor oil on it, it will be cured. But I believe that your personality has more influence and is better. Please be compassionate and pray for my camel and bless it, so that it can cure it of this sickness." Bahlul said, "If you buy the castor oil, and along with it include my prayer, then it is certain that your camel will quickly become healthy, but alone the prayer has no effect." The Arab bought the oil. Bahlul prayed for and blessed the camel. After a few days of massaging with oil, the camel became healthy. Bahlul criticizes Abdullah Mubarak. One day Abdullah Mubarak went to the desert to see Bahlul the wise. He saw Bahlul bareheaded, barefoot, and reciting Allah's name. He went up to him and saluted him. Bahlul answered the greeting. Abdullah Mubarak said, "O Sheikh, my request is that you advise me and tell me how to pass a life in this world, so that I stay away from sins because I'm a sinful being and I can't overcome my evil self-will. Tell me some way by which to acquire relief." Bahlul said, "O Abdullah, I myself am worried and distressed. What do you expect from me? If I had a brain, people wouldn't call me crazy. What effect can the speeches of lunatics have that people would accept? So go and look for some intelligent person." Abdullah said, "O Sheikh, those who say they are crazy are just fooling others. They are intelligent, and it is the truth that is heard from the lunatic." Bahlul was silent. Abdullah again began flattering him and said, "O Sheikh, don't disappoint me, I came with expectations." Bahlul said, "O Abdullah, first agree to my four conditions, so that you don't go back on your words at the statement of a lunatic. Then I will criticize you and will tell you such things that will be the means of your salvation. What are these four conditions? Tell me so I can agree," asked Abdullah. Bahlul said, "Firstly, whenever you commit a sin or go against Allah's command, then don't eat of his sustenance." "Then whose sustenance shall I eat of?" asked Abdullah. Bahlul replied, "Being an intelligent person, you claim that you worship Allah and eat out of his sustenance, and then you disobey his command. You yourself judge, is this the way to repay beneficence?" Abdullah said, "You spoke true, what is the second condition?" Bahlul said, "Secondly, whenever you want to sin, do not intend to stay in his kingdom." Abdullah said, "This is more difficult than the first, because every place is Allah's land and kingdom, so then where will I go?" Bahlul replied, "It is a very evil thing that you eat out of his sustenance, live in his kingdom and then disobey his command. Yourself judge, is this the condition of beneficence? What is the third condition?" asked Abdullah. Bahlul said, "Thirdly, when you want to sin or disobey his command, then go hide in such a place where he can't see or be aware of you. Then do whatever you want." Abdullah said, "This is the most difficult. Allah knows and sees all. He is present everywhere. He sees and knows all that his creations do." Bahlul said, "You are an intelligent being. You should know that he is present everywhere, the all-knowing and all-seeing. In this sense, it would be very evil of you to eat of his sustenance, stay in his kingdom, and then disobey him in his all-knowing, all-seeing presence. Even then you claim to worship him, although he says in the Holy Quran, 'Do not think that Allah is unaware of the act of the oppressor.'" Abdullah said, "You spoke true. What is the fourth condition?" Bahlul said, "The fourth condition is that when the angel of death suddenly comes to you to obey Allah's order and seize your soul, then at that time say, 'Wait a little while so I can say goodbye to my relatives, get their farewell, and take provisions for my last journey, then seize my soul.'" Abdullah said, "This is the most difficult condition. At that time the angel of death will not even give me time to breathe." Bahlul said, "O intelligent human, you know that there is no cure for death. You can't make it go away from you, and the angel of death doesn't give time when on the verge of death. While committing sins, the angel of death suddenly and surprisingly comes, sparing no time for even breathing. As Allah says, when the time of their death comes, they can't hurry a bit or delay." So then Abdullah, hear the truth from a lunatic and awaken from the sleep of unawareness. Beware of arrogance and intoxication, and worry about the hereafter because a long journey waits and life is short. Don't postpone today's work until tomorrow, maybe tomorrow will not come for you. Know that this is the most valuable time. Don't be lazy in doing work for the hereafter. Make provision for the hereafter today because regretting their tomorrow has no benefit. When Abdullah heard these words, he bowed his head and began to think. Bahlul again said, "O Abdullah, you wanted advice from me that would prove useful tomorrow and wanted me to present an example and proof. Why have you bowed your head? What answer will you give on the day of judgment when dangerous and strong angels inquire during your reckoning? Today whomever's account is pure will have no fear tomorrow." Finally Abdullah raised his head and said, "O Sheikh, I wholeheartedly listen to your advice. I also accept this fourth condition. Say something else and make me your student." Bahlul said, "O Abdullah, it is incumbent upon the servant that whatever he does is by Allah's order and whatever he says or hears is according to his order, then the servant is a servant." Intelligent and wise Bahlul that is called crazy and insane by people was benefited by the companionship of Imam Ja'far az-Zadiq. Peace be upon him.